Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have back as my guest Michael Bell, who is the author of The Invisible Crime. We had interviewed Michael on the first section of this book, and those are available in the archives at www.plasticos.com. Today we're going to be discussing part two of The Invisible Crime. And Michael goes into more detail in this book about specifics, because there's a lot here to understand. This is technology that most people are not familiar with. Most people are not familiar with the degree of how common these crimes are, and the extent to which crimes are being perpetrated all over the world. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
It's nice to be back.
So, would you give us a little bit about your background, your story, to catch up on the people who haven't listened to the first show, to understand how you became a targeted individual?
Okay, I'll give you a little bit of my backstory. I've been a writer all my life, and I moved out to Hollywood, California, and it was somewhere around the time of a little bit after 2001. I was just getting big meetings with some of the big studios and some of the top literary agencies in Hollywood that were interested in my writing when I became a victim of this crime, became a targeted individual. One night when I was sleeping, I was drugged and abducted from my apartment in Hollywood, and I remember bits and pieces of my abduction. I remember some of the perpetrators wearing frightening masks, and at one point, surgeons were, as I was lying on the table, surgeons with surgical masks were standing above me, and then I woke up, which I thought was the next morning, but it was really a week later. A week had transpired, and I noticed that my body was riddled with these tiny surgical incision scars, which were corresponding and symmetrical in nature. And I consulted with a private investigator, several private investigators, and an ex-CIA agent, and they informed me that what had happened to me is that I'd most likely become a targeted individual, and that I had perhaps been implanted with advanced nanotechnology biomedical devices. So it's very difficult to prove something that most people don't even know about. So I traveled around the world collecting medical evidence, which I published in my first book, The Invisible Crime: Illegal Microchip Implants and Microwave Technology and Their Use Against Humanity. And I included in that book MRIs, ultrasounds, x-rays, all showing clearly foreign objects directly underneath these tiny surgical incision scars that I have from head to toe. And also, from what I've surmised and my research has led me to believe, is that I'm actually a test subject for advanced biomedical human experimentation. And this crime is, people have a hard time understanding that the crime is so sophisticated and it's so advanced that it's difficult for people to comprehend the level of sophistication that we're talking about here. It's this crime involves every single aspect of science, neuroscience, medicine, psychology, physics, mathematics, and all war tactics, techniques, and methods, and is really representative of the sum of all human knowledge, and is considered to be the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind. And my participation I'm part of what's known as an unacknowledged special access program. And there's many of these covert test programs that are in existence, and just regular, ordinary, innocent citizens are being tested on illegally without their knowledge, without their permission, without their consent. And it's a crime against humanity.
It is. And I guess the thing that most people want to know is what would be behind these programs? What do you think the development of these programs is even in existence for? What's the end game?
Well, the end game, I believe, is human enslavement and depopulation. That's the long range goals of these programs, of which there are many. And the U.S. government has a long history of performing medical experiments on its own citizens. If you look at Project MKUltra in the 70s, the CIA, the exposed CIA mind control program, which involved trigger words and microchip implants and mind conditioning or mind control. And we're looking at the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind, looking at the long-range goals of being able to remotely induce mind control to not only an individual but to large groups. This crime is being scaled for the entire population. It's scary. It's hard for people to believe, because what was once science fiction has now become science fact, and people really can't comprehend the complexity of these classified technologies are being used on people like myself that aren't even recognized. People don't even know that they exist, and they're classified, which makes it another one of the many reasons I entitled the book The Invisible Crime, because it leaves very little evidence behind for leaving a targeted individual with very little evidence to show or prove or to produce any kind of evidence that they're a victim of any crime at all. And I've continued my extensive research and development in this, exposing this crime, in my newest book, The Invisible Crime Part 2, A Targeted Individual, Synthetic Telepathy, and Global Criminal Biomedical Human Experimentation. That's what we're talking about here.
Right. And I want to say that older victims, such as yourself, had the little scars done. But the more recent victims, probably the last 5 years or so, they're just injected. So there's no scar at all. That's important to understand. Right. You don't have to have a scar to have a chip in you. And there, let's go back and talk a little bit about some of the things that are associated with this. What I see is the criminals are able to get into any apartment, hotel room, almost anywhere they want to get into. They disable security devices like cameras. Sometimes I think they're not able to redo deadbolts, but that's just in my personal experience. But they get in and they are able to somehow make it so you don't remember anything, and then they inject the chips. The chips are very tiny now. They're not the millimeter chips that you probably had that surgeons could actually find. They're a quarter to an eighth of a millimeter. They're injected with needles and don't leave a mark. So the newer crimes are very different than what you went through, I believe.
That's right. It's the crime itself can be divided into several different areas which all work together, which are galvanized together by the microchip implants. One aspect is the organized stalking, which involves following a targeted individual either in a car or on foot, as you mentioned, repeated unforced break-ins mm-hmm. into the target's home, compromising and sabotaging personal belongings, especially clothing. And also another aspect that I talk about in the new book is the manipulation of the target's computer and email is a crucial part of the mind control process. It's where there's so many different aspects. The electronic harassment is another aspect where the target individual is through a process called electronic sleep deprivation, are literally deprived of their natural sleep, and instead of their natural sleep, where they would be able to obtain their rapid eye movement, REM, deepest part, and restorative part of speech, of sleep, I'm sorry, of sleep, now, instead of that, is this remotely induced mind control dream manipulation, in which the criminals are actually able to manipulate a person's dreams and deprive them of their natural sleep, making them more susceptible to the mind control process.
And it's important for the listener to understand that the technology actually is able to remotely read the person's thoughts. In other words, you have a thought, and these people who are monitoring you can know what you're thinking. And, you know, a lot of people don't think that that's possible, but it actually is very possible. And I wanted to say that because then you can understand how they can see what you're dreaming and then try to manipulate it. Because they also see what you're thinking and try to manipulate it. That's mind control in itself. So it's not so weird, because if you just tell somebody that somebody comes in and manipulates your dreams, they may not believe that. But since your dreams are thoughts, that it's part of the mind control program.
I talk about that extensively in the new book. It's my research indicates that this process is often referred to as synthetic telepathy, which is a human mind to computer symbiotic interaction, one in which a human being's thoughts are able to be read remotely by a supercomputer, as well as putting back influence into the human mind remotely in real time. It's really the hacking of a person's mind remotely by a supercomputer without the person being aware that it's happening to them.
Mm-hmm. And the chips also have other things. The voice-to-skull is like a sphenoid chip with an antenna on the temporal area, in most cases. But and I believe that the chip is put in the nose and remotely guided into the sphenoid sinus. That's my theory anyway, because I don't think they can actually get up into the sphenoid sinus in your bedroom. I don't think that's possible. So I think that the voice to skull. Now, people, you talk about this in your book that. You know, you tell people you're hearing voices, and then somebody gets you admitted to a 72-hour stay in a mental institution. Then you have the, you know, the stigmata of being mentally ill, and that's all part of the plan. And oftentimes what we see is that they actually put more chips in when you're in the mental institution, which is interesting. And then basically what happens after that is that you're branded as psychiatric. You know, in any doctor you go to thinks that you're psychiatric when you're actually not. And in the other book, in your first book, you talked about being able to put a microphone in the ear and actually hearing the voices. So obviously the voices just aren't in your head. They're actually real voices. So, you know, that kind of proves that targeted individuals aren't just hearing voices, that they're actually having voices projected to them that you can record. So
that's right. That's right. It's the voice to skull technology is also believed to being used in the dream manipulation, in which the person is asleep and either a voice to skull technology or a silent subliminal sound presentation is used. And hypnosis is used at this time when the person's asleep, and this is when something called mind mining or invasive thought probing happens, where the criminals are able to actually ask questions of the target while they're sleeping, and they're completely unaware that this is happening, and they won't remember it either. It's very, very disturbing to realize that this is happening, and not just targeted individuals that this is happening to. This seems to be happening to every single person. It's just that targeted individuals are aware of their situation, and that's one of the things I talk about in the new book, the one of my chapters, the statistics are staggering. If you look at, it's estimated that 1% of the population is targeted. Now, 1% may not sound like a lot, but that's out of a population of 7.5 billion people. That's 75 million people around the world that are believed to be targeted right now. And then the criminals, at least on the community based intimidation or the organized stalking and the handlers, represent 20% of the population. So that's for every one target, there's approximately five perpetrators. So 20% of the population is 1.4 billion people that are participating or are privy to this crime, that know about it. They're participating in this crime. That's a huge amount of people for a crime to go on so widespread and still remain a well-guarded secret. It's much like the mafia. The mafia exists. The global criminal syndicate is alive and flourishing around the world. Every single community, in every single village, every single city.
The mafia went underground. The mafia went underground. You know, when we were kids, you used to hear about all these shootings in New York, you know, the mafia bosses, these big wars that they would have. And then you hear nothing about the mafia, absolutely nothing. And that's because they're being employed to do this.
That's right.
This is secret. There's nothing on the mafia anymore.
And people, people can be tricked into participating in this crime, and paid to participate. But really, they're, and even the handlers themselves that are at the primary source of monitoring, tracking, surveillancing, torturing, harassing a targeted individual remotely, those people are also being deluded into thinking that they are, that the research that they're doing is anything but military. This is a completely a military move. This is this is a military classified technology at the highest levels of classified information, and that's part of the experiment is not only the targeted individuals and the data that's obtained from them, but also in how the handlers, the primary perpetrators against specific targeted individuals, are being desensitized to see how much so that they feel no compassion or no empathy for the person that they're monitoring and harassing and terrorizing.
Right.
So they're part of the experiment too, unbeknownst to them. That's how involved this crime is.
Well, let me tell you something that might be of interest to you. Back in May, we heard that karma had been accelerated 15 times. And then in the last session we had on Sunday, we were informed that it was accelerated 30 times. So, as you know, the karma is the law of cause and effect. It's really only applicable in the third dimension. It doesn't apply to the higher dimensions, but in the third dimension, what it means is that whatever you're putting out will come back to you 30 times faster than it would, say, last year. And so I think that a lot of what we're going to see is an acceleration of things occurring when we have extreme programs like this. I think that people are going to, I think they already have. I mean, I've heard they're already getting sick. They're already getting, attracting accidents to them because their spiritual protection is down. You know, just whatever. When you start to disintegrate your own energy field, you don't have spiritual protection. You don't have, you actually attract things to yourself, disease and other negative things, or even somebody murdering you. You know, I mean, when your spiritual protection is down, all sorts of things can happen. So I think that you're going to see a lot more problems at all levels of this crime.
Well, that would be the universe taking care of itself. I hope that happens. it seems.
Well, I think it is happening right now, and you know, just be on the lookout for that. I know that you interact with your gang stalkers, you interact with your, you know, your voice to skull people and your dream insertion stuff, and you might pay attention to see if it's changing, you know, if there's clues of cracks in this this facade that they've got. But I think there will be.
I hope so. One could only hope. Yes. Well, that's one of the things I talk about in the new book, in the Invisible Crime Part 2, is my ability to survive and adapt and cope with what's thrown at me as a targeted individual, because that's part of that's essential. You have to develop a thick skin. You have to be able to be hopeful in the face of such overwhelming odds against you, and also be able to, as I talk about in the new book, being able to document things that happen to you, particularly with the organized stalking. Filming is a huge deterrent that I talk about. First-person videos, putting actually the viewer able to, giving them your eyes and ears to know exactly what you're experiencing, and then of course collecting all this evidence and accumulating it over time certainly shows a pattern. Whereas it's because it's being done covertly, especially the organized stalking is being done covertly. And when you talked about people having perhaps a surgery or an injection done in their house while they're asleep, it usually involves some format of covert drugging of some kind.
It would have to.
Has to. I mean, it's required.
You wake up and somebody's stuck a needle in you.
That's right. And also another thing I write about is that just because you're not a targeted individual today doesn't mean you won't become one tomorrow or you can't become one. So it's really for everyone to be aware that this crime is real and it exists, and it's only expanding. And as you said, with the new injections, with the newest technology, making it even more difficult to detect and prove.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about it being in vaccines. It might be in IV fluids. It might even be in some of the beverages that are going to be consumed. This is information that I've received from targeted individuals who have handlers talking about this. So I don't know if I can trust the handlers, but if that is true, there is definitely a plan to spread this further out into the population. And like I said, these chips are tiny. These aren't the RFID chips that you see implanted in children of rich people and animals, which are about the size of the grain of sand. I do want to say that a lot of the veterinary literature shows that those chips are dangerous because they can increase the risk of sarcoma due to the electromagnetic field. So those chips need to be removed. These chips are totally different technology, and actually probably not that dangerous if they're not being activated in terms of causing cancer or, you know, some other thing other than if they're designed to release something. And we can talk about that. There are chips that are put in that are designed to release things that could harm the person. But in general, what I believe is that most targeted individuals are extremely valuable because of the huge amount of money, which you actually mention in your book. It's like $4 million a year that it costs to do one targeted individual.
Person. Yeah,
one
it's,
person.
It's,
yeah, $4 million a year. So how many years have you been targeted?
Well, since I became aware around 2001.
Okay, so you are like the multi-million dollar man, and these programs are very valuable. They try to tell the person that they're going to kill them, and they try to make you think that they're going to kill you by releasing noxious chemicals and simulating heart attacks and doing all sorts of things that appear to be very dangerous, but on muscle testing, none of it is going to really harm the person. I do see a lot of heavy metals in people, though. And I think most everybody needs a heavy metal detox that has these chips in it, probably because they've got metals in them.
That's right. Well, some of the chips now are using conductive polymers and resins, which makes it difficult, you know, because people will say to me that I'm explaining the crime to, they're like, well, when you walk through the security screening at an airport, why wouldn't that be alerted? It's because probably also it has to do with the manufacturer of those testing systems that since the government is behind developing these classified technologies, it's perhaps possible that these technologies are eluding detection because they're so small and perhaps using conductive polymers and resins, but also because perhaps the screening machines themselves are not going to acknowledge this type of classified technology because it's not something that typically another country would have. It's something that is developed by multinational corporations involved on a global scale in the design, manufacture, and deployment and use of these sophisticated electronic weapon systems is what we're talking about here. And as you said, targeted individuals are a huge source of data and information that is being collected over time and as I said before, it's being scaled for the entire human population with the end goals being human enslavement and depopulation because we're using up our resources much faster than we're able to generate them. And some of the other aspects of this crime I also discussed in the book, in addition to unacknowledged special access programs like the organized stalking, the electronic harassment, and the mind control, is also there are a couple of other programs that I've been made aware of that I'm a part of. One is the Transhuman Super Soldier Program, and the other is the Biological Weapons Program, which these are all unacknowledged special access programs at the highest level of military classification, so that nobody would know about any of this if it hadn't been for research and for the research that I've done and that you've done, and information that I've obtained through an ex-CIA agent provided me with a huge amount of recently declassified information, and as well as private investigators that I interviewed, and also targeted individuals that know much more than I do have shared a wealth of information to me, so that I've been able to piece together many pieces of the puzzle, although it's so complex and it's so sophisticated that it's only a handful of people in the world know the entire picture. It's still being exposed slowly but surely.
Yeah. There's probably around 9,000 people like yourself in the United States that are at this high level of programming. Now, some are DOD, some are other parts of the government. I actually also see the some are whistleblowers in industry, which is interesting. Sometimes just gang stalking is used when you're a whistleblower, but then I guess sometimes chipping and gang stalking are used. I was surprised to find that organizations here in Atlanta had used gang stalking against their whistleblowers. And remember, these whistleblowers are just trying to improve safety and care. And, you know, these are good people trying to do the right thing. And then they have their homes broken into, their children threatened, sometimes they're raped, you know, all sorts of things just because you're a whistleblower. And then you can also be chipped, like Michael was. So in industry, you can hire people to do this to your whistleblowers. And I don't think most people know that.
Yeah, it's it's most people are unaware of this crime. It's really a perfect crime in many ways because it leaves so little evidence behind especially for law enforcement or for a judge. It leaves very little proof, and then of course many people are paid off along the way or are also coerced into participating, especially doctors and psychologists, which can often illegally mislabel a person as being mentally ill, which is an example of gross medical misconduct. But it's happening every day somewhere.
Oh, it is, and also law enforcement. You know, some of these crimes are pretty bad, like rape and I mean, very commonly rape for women and even for men. And so when you report the crimes, law enforcement just glazes over and says you're crazy too. You know, they don't even investigate.
Right.
It's very true. Even though there's probably evidence, you know.
Even if there's evidence, they choose to look the other way. And also, you have to remember that there's a lot of other things that are being that the targeted individuals are being exploited for, and in so many different levels. Possible medical testing to see if certain cancers can be caused or mutated simply through the power of suggestion, through the mind control process, and also different mind control experiments that they're conducting, ritualistic torture, sadistic gratification, and also psychological and physical experimentation. And also, if you look at it from a larger standpoint, it's really in many ways a form of human trafficking. It also serves as a perverse form of entertainment and voyeurism, especially for the perpetrators, and to see if a person's sexual orientation can be changed, to determine which techniques and methods get the best results, to have targets believe absurd things that don't happen or don't exist. For example, you look at what the U.S. intelligence community did at Guantanamo Bay with a young Muslim. They convinced this young Muslim to believe that he'd lost his hands and legs, and yet they were still there. But he believed that they weren't there. He believed they'd been removed. So that's an example of mind control that's been documented. That's true.
Yeah. It's very interesting, too, that a very important part of this is isolation. Many of the TIs believe that their families are involved and being paid to do things, when in actuality they're not. I mean, every once in a while a more remote family member, or like an ex-husband, will be definitely involved. But it's the isolation that they try to create. And that's why the applied kinesiology is important, because then you can distinguish fiction from fact, and you can really understand what's going on rather than believing the thoughts in your head, which maybe have been put there.
Right, but as you said, by keeping a person isolated, and also in connection with electronic sleep deprivation, and then repeated trauma.
That makes you paranoid in itself. It really does. That's true.
That sets up that with being isolated and then being deprived of sleep over a long period of time, and then compounded with the organized stalking and the electronic harassment, it's able to that induces something called trauma-based behavior modification, and that's where the mind control. People want to know, well, why would they be paying people or organize people to constantly being harassed and brutalized and terrorized a target? It's to induce this trauma-based behavior modification state of mind. And that is where the mind control seems to be most productive at this point in the development. We're just seeing the beginnings of this program right now. It's actually, this program originated at the end of World War II with Operation Paperclip and collecting all of the Nazi doctors and the human experimentation programs over in Germany and bringing them to the United States and then creating the MK Ultra CIA mind control program. Right up till today, they said that that program was discontinued, but really it never discontinued, and it's gone further underground. And it's been estimated since this mind control program has been instituted that trillions, with a T, have been invested into this program. So when people, especially when you're talking to law enforcement and you try to explain to them what's happened to you, and they often respond, they're like, first of all, they'll say to you, why would anyone do something like that?
Exactly. Well, the bigger the crime, the harder it is to believe that it's out there, you know, because people
also
really are mostly ethical. I mean, you know, law enforcement is mostly ethical. They're trying to do the right thing. They can't even imagine that degree of criminality.
Right, and also they often would reply to me when I brought it to their attention, do you have any idea how much manpower or how much that something like that would cost? Yes,
yeah.
I do.
It
would cost it would cost trillions of dollars, but you see, no expense is too great when the end goal is human enslavement and depopulation of the entire global population. There's no price that's too great to accomplish that end goal.
Right. And, you know, basically the whole thing, you know, really comes down to people understanding that the world they thought they were born into is not necessarily the one that exists. Now, for a lot of people, this, you know, they'll never encounter this. You know, they'll never, you know, have any evidence of this, even though they may have some GPS locator chips in them from vaccines or IV fluids or whatever. But they're just GPS locators, and they're never going to really have any sequelae from them. But other people, you know, have quite a bit. You know, they may be influenced. They may have anxiety from some of the chips and some of the experimentation. They may have, you know, other things that are more mild. And then the really heavily targeted individuals like yourself have, you know, a whole bunch of different programs being run at different times. I did want to say one thing about MKUltra. MKUltra traditionally, because I don't think our listening audience knows a lot about the history of MKUltra. This is all historical, by the way. You can look this up. Nothing I'm saying is anything other than what has been admitted to by the CIA. But MKUltra was systematic torture, usually of children, where they would split their personality and then with a certain keyword be able to put them into a certain personality that was either an assassin or a sex slave, but that the other personality wouldn't know anything about what was done when they were in that that altered state of personality. So that was supposedly stopped. But I believe that a lot of the current assassinations that you see on the news, like the Fort Lauderdale shooter told the FBI 2 weeks before the shooting that he had been chipped by the CIA. Okay, so that either he's delusional or he actually was. You know, you decide. But when people are tortured and then they're in the assassin program, they have to do the assassination or the torture won't stop. You see, that's how it works. So
the
MKUltra just changed a little bit. I mean, it changed from, you know, having to have that split personality, which is probably pretty difficult to achieve, you know, in a lot of, you know, I don't know how difficult, but that program probably isn't being done anymore.
It's as you were saying, it's another one of the goals, or one of the experiments, is to determine if targeted individuals can be influenced to commit treason or assassinate powerful political
which
figures.
I think most of the crimes that have been committed were targeted individuals, from what I can see. I mean, the proof is definitely there. Anywhere from having them miss firing 60 rounds into a crowd at close range and not really hitting very many people. That's missing, okay? And that would mean that maybe the targeted individual really didn't want to kill those people, but was forced to try anyway. I mean, that kind of evidence, you see.
Yes,
logic.
Use logic with it. It's showing, and the experiments are based in determining if a targeted individual can be made to think about dishonest actions when they're basically just a regular innocent honest person. Can we turn this person into what we want them to be? How can we do this? And which effects and actions determine to achieve this end result the quickest, the most effectively? So, in that respect, target individuals really are guinea pigs and in so many different programs and medical
experiments. And usually they're killed. That's the other thing. Usually they'll be killed so there's no evidence, you know, once
that's
it happens, you know, so that nobody could, you know, figure out that they're chipped. But, you know, I think that almost all of these shootings that you see, I see evidence of chipping in many, many of the crimes that are so-called ISIS crimes or so-called, you know, disgruntled people. And there's always a reason that the crime occurred. Like, say, the Fort Lauderdale shooting. There was evidently a bill in the Florida legislature about gun control at the same time. So that's what you have to do. You have to look and see what was this trying to influence. There's always reasons that the crime occurs then, you know, and like the shooting of the senator, you know, or the congressman, what that congressman was investigating. That you need to look deeper to see why that someone would want that person injured or dead.
Well, yeah, exactly. And if you look back even if you go all the way back, you look at the assassination of Robert Kennedy, and Sirhan was supposed to be a mind control victim, and so mind controlled that it took six agents to take the gun out of his hand because he was so possessed, so mind controlled at that point. And then you look at something more recent, like Timothy McVeigh claimed to be microchipped and be targeted. So that's more recent. So, and even as you said, in the Florida shootings, it's definitely, and these people complained about being targeted and hearing voices and being influenced remotely. So everyone can't be wrong, and all these people just, and that's the other thing too, so many things that happen to targeted individuals are chalked up to coincidence, when in reality, coincidences stop happening for targeted individuals. They cease to exist. There are no more coincidences in their life anymore. They're all intentional acts that are being done to them that they're victims of. That someone could just say, well, that's just a coincidence. But if you look at the number of coincidences that happen daily, multiple times a day and night to targeted individuals, it's not a coincidence that these things are happening.
No, it isn't. But, you know, again, the average person cannot believe that gang stalking actually occurs. You realize that.
Right. Well,
I mean, the average person is totally over their head that chipping, maybe if you actually produce the chip and show it to them, they'll believe that. But gang stalking is something that people cannot even conceive that money would be put in to do.
Well, that's true. It's the crime is so perfectly designed and made to look so bizarre,
innocent.
and obscure,
the TI's making it up, you know.
Correct.
It's
so perfectly disguised that it makes it look as though the person who's actually telling you the truth is delusional, because the people, and that's another thing that happens too, is that you look at the different types of perpetrators that I discuss in the new book. You look at in Invisible Crime Part 2, the brand new book, I talk about the different categories of perpetrators, and you look at the very, very top. It's people controlling people who are in turn being controlled by other people. So it goes from the very top. I would say the origin for all of this would even originate at something at the highest level, something like the Bilderberg Group, which you probably know about. That's where the funding, where the direction of the military funding for programs like this begins, and then it goes down to right down to the community level, where you have organized stalkers that are being paid nominal amounts of money, not enough for them to get rich, but enough for them to keep coming back for more and do whatever they're asked, because these people really can't think for themselves. They follow the directions of their alpha leaders, and these people are being directed by someone else to do whatever it is they're asked to do. And also, the other thing which reinforces the gang stalking or the organized stalking is the vicious rumors and the lies that are told about the target in their community force the merchants to shun the targeted individual. They're told terrible lies that perhaps they're a pedophile or something, that people instantly begin to hate that person, and people want to believe the worst. They don't give their targeted individual the benefit of the doubt. So this terrible rumor campaign, vicious lies are being told about them in their community, and then not only do the merchants shun them, but they'll also perform acts of harassment against the targeted individual, reinforced by these lies and sometimes monetary nominal amounts of money to act as an incentive, because in this crime is a very good example that people will do anything for money, not just about anything, but anything. They will do absolutely anything you can think of. If they won't do it for this amount, they'll do it for a larger amount, but they will do anything for money. And that's what it all comes down to.
Well, people who aren't spiritually evolved will. People who are spiritually evolved realize that when they engage in that kind of behavior, all they're doing is hurting themselves, which is really true.
Right. That's
but,
true.
But, you know, you're right. The whole thing is planned. There's a big program. It's kind of many components of it are so crazy that people aren't going to believe you. I mean, they'd rather believe the person that comes in and says that you're a pedophile than believe the actual program that's in existence, that because they don't want to live in a world where that's true. You know, it's just easier to believe that something's wrong with the targeted individual than something's wrong with the whole world. But it's just crazy.
Right.
It's a crazy they call it a psyops, you know, experiment, which is what it is. And, you know, I think discernment is really, really important. You know, I've met you. You know, we've met each other. We both have a fair amount of discernment. Things aren't always as they seem, and that's why you were able to put together this book and put together, you know, investigate and find out, you know, what was really going on rather than what the voices in your head told you was going on. You know, you didn't necessarily believe what you heard. And, you know, the whole thing comes down to spiritual discernment. And so, you know, even though there may be a lot of very, you know, horrible experiences, which many are, you put many of them in your book in detail, which I think is important for people to read, but the amount of spiritual growth that you've undergone in this lifetime has been tremendous. And it wouldn't have been like that if you weren't a targeted individual. You know, we grow quicker during the time of extreme stress than any time else.
That's absolutely right. And one of the chapters toward the end of my new book is entitled "And Through the Darkness, behold a silver lining. So I say, no matter how terrible your situation is in life, there's always something that you can gain from it. Or if you look at it from a different perspective, there may be something positive that you're, as you said, especially with me, with the spiritual aspect. Certainly, if I wasn't a targeted individual, I may have been spiritual, but not nearly to the level that I am now, and aware of so many things. And also, I feel that part of my obligation to the rest of humanity is to do whatever I can in my power to keep writing books and to keep doing interviews like this one to expose people of exactly what's happening out there and how it's happening, and that it must ultimately stop, and people need to recognize that this invisible crime is real, and that it's happening on a global scale, and it's being tailored for the entire human population. And in my first book, I actually tell the reader exactly where they will find the scars on their body, these tiny surgical incision scars. And since becoming a target individual, and since becoming aware and doing all my medical imaging, I've examined thousands of people around the world. Most are not even targeted individuals, or have never even heard of this program or these unacknowledged special access programs, but yet they still bear the scars, and they didn't even know that they existed until I told them about it. So it seems that it's also quite possible that this is happening to people through a variety of ways, through vaccines, through food, through covert druggings, but also even sometimes for elective or surgeries. When they go to the when they go to the hospital for a surgery, that's the opportunity that presents itself to be possibly implanted. And so the people that the target individuals know for sure that they're being targeted, but other people may be part of the program on an unconscious level that they don't know. They're not aware that anything's happening to them.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Well, we're coming up on the end of our hour. Would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. The new book is The Invisible Crime Part 2, A Targeted Individual, Synthetic Telepathy, and Global Criminal Biomedical Human Experimentation. And those are in the new book. It's right now, it's just available in ebook, but it should be coming out in hard copy in the next month or so. And I have two websites, www.michaelfbell.com and www.invisiblecrime.com. And the books are available through Barnes & Noble and Amazon as well.
Well, I think you're incredibly brave to write these books, Michael. These are very well referenced and, as far as I can see, very accurate descriptions of what's going on. And, I think it's wonderful that you have gotten the information out in such a great fashion that people can read it and understand what's going on.
Thank you. It's nice to hear positive reinforcement from you, Dr. Cole.
Well, thanks a lot, Michael. We've been interviewing Michael Bell on his book, The Invisible Crime, Part 2. Next week, Tom Palladino will be talking about scalar energy, which is actually able to fix a lot of things that can't be fixed with regular medicine. And then Nikki Scully is talking about Sekhmet transformation in the belly of the goddess on the 8th. Thanks so much for joining us, and please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.